So first of all, in Leviticus chapter 8, and then we'll go back to Exodus. Leviticus chapter 8, and it's speaking here about Moses on the day of consecration, putting the high priest's garments upon Aaron. So Leviticus 8, verse 7, and he put upon him the coat, and girded him with the girdle, and clothed him with the robe, and put the ephod upon him. And he girded him with the curious girdle of the ephod, and bound it unto him therewith. And he put the breastplate upon him. Also he put in the breastplate the Urim and the Thummim. And this evening I want us to consider this ephod, and then I'll mention just briefly the curious girdle that was used to secure the girdle around the waist, and then associated with the ephod, securing the ephod, and then associated with the ephod was the breastplate in verse 8. So then if we go back to Exodus chapter 28, Exodus chapter 28, and so these three items are the outer garments that the high priest would wear, and so the upper garment was the breastplate, which was associated with the ephod. And in chapter 29, just out of interest, it is the ephod that is the first item that actually is made when they come to make these items. So Exodus chapter 28 and the verse 15. And thou shalt make the breastplate of judgment with cunning work. After the work of the ephod, thou shalt make it of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and of fine twined linen shalt thou make it. Four square shall it be being doubled, a span shall be the length thereof, and a span shall be the breadth thereof. And then the next verses speak of the precious stones, the gemstones that were set into the this breastplate. And so there were four rows of these stones. And then verse 21, and the stones shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Every one with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes. And thou shalt make upon the breastplate chains at the ends of wreathen work of pure gold. And then if we go down to verse 29, and Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place for a memorial before the Lord continually. And thou shalt put in the breastplate of judgment the Urim and the Thummim, and they shall be upon Aaron's heart when he goeth in before the Lord. And Aaron shall bear the judgment of the children of Israel upon his heart before the Lord continually. And we know that the Lord will bless the reading of his precious truth. And so tonight we're going to look at these upper or outer garments that the high priest wore. And so there is this ephod, and then attached onto the ephod was the breastplate. And as I said in the Bible reading, the ephod was secured to the body of the high priest by the curious girdle. A picture that I have this week is actually a picture of a high priest that one of the minister's wives back home made. And so over a period of time, she did a lot of work. I don't think she actually had real gold when it comes to the gold thread, but she had the next best thing. And so at the top of the ephod then were the shoulder pieces. We'll talk about that. And so the shoulder pieces, one on each side, were made of stones with the names of the tribes. Then Over the top of the ephod was the breastplate. And so the ephod is this apron, and the glorious girdle was the belt or the sash that secured it together. So I've put the arrow down at the bottom because you can't really make out the girdle higher up. So it's just to show you there that that is the belt or the sash. So we'll just have a few details first of all then about these outer garments. The ephod was made of the colours that we've already seen in association with the tabernacle. So there was the gold and then the colours of blue, purple, scarlet, and the white linen. And these colours were interwoven. So in chapter 28, verse 6, they shall make the ephod of gold, of blue, and of purple, and of scarlet, and fine twined linen with cunning work. With cunning work. And it has this idea then that there was a design, as it were, worked into the fabric. The colours were interwoven. The word ephod, or ephod, I think some people pronounce it. I've grown up hearing it as ephod, and so that has stuck. The particular word ephod, it is a Hebrew word, and so the translators, rather than trying to translate it and find an equivalent, they have just brought it into English, but it was like an apron. And the actual word, it has the idea of being put on or overlaid, and so it was put on or overlaid over the blue robe that we saw last week. So remember, the innermost garment is this long linen garment, and then there's the blue that went over that, is speaking of Christ's heavenly authority, the authority of the high priest, and then we have the ephod with the breastplate over the top of the blue robe. The actual breastplate, it was four-sided, it was square, it was doubled over, so that when it was doubled over, there was like a pocket, a pouch, and the Urim and Thummim then went inside the pouch that was made through the folding, and we'll come to that then, God willing, a future time. And on the breastplate were 12 stones, each representing a tribe, and so each tribe had a stone, and the breastplate was fastened with gold chains. And I encourage you later to read the rest of the section, words that we didn't take time to read tonight, where it describes how all of this was fastened together. So the gold was used effectively as thread to hold all of this together. So we'll come then to the gospel pictures in these outer garments. First of all, the Lord's people are like stones, because as these 12 stones represent the tribes, they're not just representing the tribes, but they're representing every believer. And so there were 12 sons of Jacob, the 12 tribes of Israel, but the stones then are a picture of how the Lord has all of his people, as it were, upon his heart, and we'll come to that in a moment or two. But to look at this in the most basic way then, since the sons of Jacob are likened to stones, every believer is likened to a stone. Remember, that is symbolism that is used in the New Testament. Christ is the great living stone, 1 Peter 2, verse 4. But then ye also, as lively or living stones, are built up a spiritual house. And so we think of a stone. It's an inanimate object. Jesus Christ was that stone that the builders rejected. And so there's this image of Christ as a foundation stone. The Jewish people rejected him. But he is the head of the corner. And as the hardness of men's hearts are touched and their hearts are opened, they become these living stones attached to the great cornerstone, our Lord Jesus Christ. Then We learn here also, are we reminded, that the Lord's people are remembered. The Lord's people are remembered. And the names of the 12 tribes were written in two places. So first of all, on the shoulder pieces, so six on one side, six on the other, and then the names upon the breastplate, one in each of these gemstones. Now if you could look with me in verse 12, and so this is Exodus 28, verse 12. Thou shalt put the two stones upon the shoulders of the ephod for stones of memorial unto the children of Israel. And Aaron shall bear their names before the Lord upon his two shoulders for a memorial. For a memorial. Now, of course, we understand that as Aaron and the high priest that followed would go into the holy place, they wouldn't forget one of the tribes, but there is this idea that as they went in to pray, they would not forget, that they would bring the needs of each one of these tribes before the Lord in prayer. And so the items here do have to do with Moses going in to do his work in the holy place. Verse 29 shows us that Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart when he goeth in unto the holy place. And so it does have to do with him performing his work, and as he would do it, the people would be in his remembrance. And of course, this carries us far beyond Aaron. And we are reminded then that our high priest never forgets his people. We are always remembered. We are always remembered. And as he prays in glory, it's as if there is this memorial. He remembers us. Now, of course, again, it's not as if the Lord could forget us, but words like this are used to remind us that the Lord does not forget. Remember when Noah came off the ark, the rainbow was put in the sky, and often we think of the rainbow as reminding us, and of course it does remind us of God's covenant. But in Genesis chapter 9, the Lord there spoke of the rainbow reminding him, the bow shall be in the cloud, and I will look upon it, that's the Lord will look upon it, that I may remember the everlasting covenant. Now again, God does not forget his covenant. He doesn't need a rainbow to remind him, but the rainbow is there to remind us that he always remembers. And the same then with these stones, they remind us that the Lord does not forget us. Even when things are difficult and we are tempted to ask ourselves the question, has the Lord forgotten me? As we come to passages like this, we remind ourselves the Lord has not forgotten. We are remembered permanently. The names were not written with ink, but they were engraved. Verse 11, it speaks of the engraving. And surely the idea is that the names would be written there permanently. They would not quickly disappear. And as I thought of that, it reminded me of those great words in Isaiah 49:16. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. And we think of the palms of our hands. We look at them often. And the Lord says that our names, it's as if they're on the palms of his hands. They're engraved there. He continually sees our names. We are continually in his heart and mind. The Lord remembers his people. But then I want us to see also there is the lesson that there's one standing for God's people. One standing. For there is a distinction between the names in the stones on the shoulder pieces and the names on the gemstones. And so if we think about the shoulder pieces first of all, it says there are six of their names on one stone and the other six of the rest on the other stone according to their birth. according to their birth. So remember, here are two stones, and the stones are the same. And the six names on one, six on the other. And so, looking at the names as they're listed there, there's no difference between Reuben and Issachar, for example. There's no difference between Judah and one of the other tribes. There's this common standing. The names are just listed there. And it reminds us of a very important truth, that as they were listed here according to their birth, that as the Lord has our names in accordance with the new birth, there is this one standing. There is this one standing. Remember how Paul emphasized that in Galatians 3, verse 28. There is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul was not saying there that there's no such thing as a distinction between male and female. He's not saying that there's no difference in roles or anything like that. He is just saying that in terms of justification, there is equality. And so for all of us here tonight, while our spiritual progress may be at a different level, our names are before the Lord, and there's this one standing. We're justified, and justification is a full justification, the one standing. But then, as we come to the breastplate, we see diversity within the body of Christ. Because on the breastplate, the names were not listed according to their birth, but the order was different. And so in verse 21, it says, "The stone shall be with the names of the children of Israel, 12, according to their names, like the engravings of a signet. Everyone with his name shall be according to the 12 tribes." And so on the shoulder pieces, the names were according to the sons of Jacob. So as we thought on the Lord's Day morning, the 12 sons, they were listed on the shoulder pieces according to their birth. But then here in verse 21, when it comes to the breastplate, it's according to the tribes. And so Levi's name was not there, because of his priestly role. But then remember how Joseph was divided into two. He had the double portion. And so there was a slight difference in the names with that. But then another issue was that in verse 21, it's not according to birth, but according to the 12 tribes. And the order there is changed according to the way in which the tribes were led out. And so when the children of Israel journeyed in the wilderness, they moved in a particular order. So everybody just didn't run and go where they wanted to go. There was a particular order. And so I have this on the screen. This comes from Numbers chapter 10. And when you read that chapter carefully, you will see that there are four standards. And so each of the standards represents another grouping. And then after the first two groups, so after the group that Judah led, there were the group of Levites, and then again after the next group, Reuben's group, there were another group of Levites carrying various items. But there were these four groups, and this then became the layout for the gemstones. Now, looking at the high priest and looking at those gemstones, they were not all the same. They were different. Different colors. They were all beautiful, but they were all different. And so if the shoulder pieces remind us that there's one standing in Christ, the breastplate reminds us that we all have a different function, a different role. There is diversity within the body of Jesus Christ. And again, this is something that is taught in the New Testament, where in Romans chapter 12, verses 4 to 6, Paul speaks there of how there is one body, but there's many members. And so it's as if the Church of Christ is made up of these different stones, and we're different, we're not all the same. So collectively, we make the body of Christ, but we're not all the same. We're not clones of each other. We're not duplicates of each other. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 20, now are they many members, but one body. And so we see this beautiful truth that there is unity, yet diversity. Unity, yet diversity. And this is most beautifully then set forth in these two places where there were the engravings on the shoulder pieces and on the breastplate. Then we'll come to number five, the believer's position is in Christ. For the stones obviously had to be attached. There had to be some way in which they were secured. And if you look at verse 11, it speaks here of the shoulder pieces. At the end of verse 11, they are set in ouches of gold. So there was a setting, I think is probably the language that we would use today. So just as the ladies ring, the stone will be in a setting. So these stones were in a setting, and it was in gold. It was in gold. And gold so often in the story of the tabernacle has to do with deity. It's also the color of heaven. And so the stones are set into this gold. And remember, the stones are representing you and me. And how are we secured before God? We are secured in the gold. We're secured in Christ. We're secured in the heavenly places. Ephesians 2 verse 6, seated in heavenly places in Christ. We have been chosen in Him. Ephesians 1 verse 4, we are accepted in Him. All of our safety is bound up in Him. And so as we think of the high priest going in, and he comes and he prays for the tribes, for that's what he does, is he bears these names. And so Jesus Christ goes to the throne of grace and he prays for us. And we are secure because we are actually set into him. We are seated in him. And then we learn that Christ supports and sympathizes with the Christian. For if we think of these two places where the engravings were again, there is one upon his shoulders. Upon his shoulders. And the language is used that he bears their names. Verse 12. He bears their names. He carries them. And the shoulders are a great picture of strength then. And Christ, as our great high priest, he bears us up before the throne of grace. He holds us up. We are supported. We're supported. And isn't it a wonderful thing that in times when we struggle in prayer, that we can remind ourselves that Christ is no such struggle. We struggle to hold ourselves up before the Lord in prayer, but the Lord bears us up. The Lord supports us. But then we see his sympathy. Verse 29. Aaron shall bear the names of the children of Israel in the breastplate of judgment upon his heart. And so this breastplate would be upon his chest. The stones hanging, as it were, over his heart. And here is the picture. We have that same language in verse 30. They shall be upon Aaron's heart. We are upon the Lord's heart. He is touched with the feeling of our infirmity. As we've been seeing in John 13, he loved his own unto the end. And the Lord then has taken us. There's nothing good in us. And yet the Lord has taken us and made us his precious stones, his precious gems, his special treasure. And he bears us upon his heart. He bears us upon his heart. And then lastly, as far as these gospel pictures are concerned, the believer's position in heaven is reserved. The believer's position in heaven is reserved. For when you read this section, it's hard not to think of the latter chapters of the book of Revelation. And so, although we didn't read the verses 17, 18, 19 and 20, you have the list of gemstones, although I think the list in Revelation 21 is more complicated. The night that I read that in church, I got told off afterwards for mispronouncing the names by someone in our house. You have these gemstones and the high priest's clothing, and they remind us of those gems that are spoken of in Revelation 21 in association with the New Jerusalem. We also have this emphasis of the breastplate being square, verse 16. And doesn't that remind us of the New Jerusalem, which is described in Revelation 21 as being four square? Again, all the reference to gold, it surely reminds us of heaven. And the high priest then, as he would go in to the holy place, and again surrounded by gold, surrounded by the light from the candlestick, there was no darkness in there. It's a great picture of how we will be born by our high priest right into the heavenlies themselves. So we have that position there as far as guarantee is concerned. But one day, praise God, we shall be taken right into heaven itself. Our position is reserved. We will be there because the Lord has guaranteed it. Before we finish, then, we'll just look briefly at some practical lessons in the upper garments and stones. First of all, we are to remember others in prayer. As we think of our high priest, he never fails to pray for us. Shouldn't we take the lesson from it? That if the Lord never forgets to pray, why is it that we do? If the Lord has these names on his shoulders, upon his heart, how can it be that we forget to pray for the Lord's people? Others ought to be upon our hearts. We ought to be bearing the Lord's people up before the throne of grace. And of course, that's why we're here tonight to pray. And may the Lord help us so to do. As I thought of that, remember, the stones were for a memorial. That word has become a bit of a bad word over the last few weeks, a memorial. But we are to remember. And in the New Testament, at least twice that I could think of today, prayer is spoken of as remembering. So Hebrews 13:7, remember them which have the rule over you. That is, the congregation are instructed to pray for the leadership. And Paul in Colossians 4:18 says, remember my bonds. And I believe at least in part that's a prayer request. Pray for me in my imprisonment. Remember my bonds. And so then, we are to remember the Lord's people. Then, number two, we are to do our part in the work of God. We're all precious stones. And remember how I mentioned that we're all different. We all have a particular function. And so not everyone is the emerald. Not everyone is the diamond. Not everyone is the jasper. We all have our particular role to play. But we all have some role. And so we are to do our part in the work of God. And then finally, we are to rejoice in our position, that we do have a high priest. And I suppose this is really applying the gospel lessons, that as we think of all that we have here in Jesus Christ, what a wonderful thing that there is one who bears us up. The hymn writer said, my name is graven in his hands. My name is graven on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me thence depart. We trust that the Lord will take his word and bless it to all of our hearts. Amen.